Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful to praise the Lord? Oh, amen. You know, I will just sing that worship song all the way because it's all about Him. You know, it's not about a person, a single person. Oh, brother, Pastor Simon here. It's not about Gavinsky. It's not about Pastor Michael. But it's about the King of Glory, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just want to see you move today. It's not the words that I'm going to speak, but it's the way that you will choose to move in this place, Lord God. It's the way that you will choose to change life. It's the way that you will choose to turn around some situation, Lord God, in our lives. Father, this way, Holy Spirit, less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. In your mighty name, Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, we just want to share a couple words of encouragement for us Christians. I always like to say, when I stand here speaking, I am also in the city here in one of these chairs to hear the word as well, because if I speak the word and don't practice it, Jesus said it's like someone building a house on the sand. And when the storm comes, go down. So we are here just to share with you because we are on the same boat. And we want to get to the final line together. That's our hope. We want that. And this way, we want to encourage each other this morning through this message that we can entitle An Encouragement to Spiritual Growth. An Encouragement to Spiritual Growth. Many years ago, I was living with my dad, and we have a neighbor. She had a baby. So whatever the sickness was, that baby, years after years, never grew. The baby never talked, never quarreled. You know, it's always on her mother's hand, always crying. So it was a tough situation for this family. And imagine, I have my baby girl, you know, and I can't wait to see her grow, you know. I can't wait because when she was born, it was hard to sleep, you know. Even it was beautiful, but, you know, sometimes after work, you just want to rest. But the baby crying. But now she's growing and she cries less, you know. And that's a relief for us. And we love every single step about it. And imagine your baby, 5, 6 months, 1 year, stay the same. How would that make you feel as a parent? How would that make you feel as a mother? So I saw that lady day after day, always holding the baby, feeding the baby, and that's all. Until she moved from where we were living, so I don't know how the story ended, but that was a tough time. So today, I would like to encourage the church to seek or to desire the spiritual growth in the Lord. And it's not just me. This is something that the Lord Himself, He wants for His church. Because He doesn't want His church to stay the same, but He wants the church to grow spiritually in the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, and becoming every single day like Jesus. Amen? So Bible dictionaries talk about growth as a progressive development, increasing in size, capacity, and ability. And for many people, spiritual growth could have different meaning because it depends. It depends on the position. It depends on the way of understanding God. But for me, I believe that spiritual growth is like a desire to know more and more about God and the things of God and trying to be more like our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ in the Christian world. So let's turn our Bible to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. As a background, Peter, for most of us, you might know that Peter was the guy who was always ahead. Whenever Jesus says something, he's always the one to be the first, you know. And when they saw the man coming on the water, and they said, is that you, Lord? And every guy on the boat, you know, was like shaking. But Peter said, if it's you, tell me to come to you, you know. And the first one, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, you know, and he was the first one to say, hey, Lord, I will never betray you, you know. And he was the first one to say, I don't know him, 3 times. But after that, he came back to the Lord, and he was the one to that preach on a day, and so many people came and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Amen. So that same Peter was writing to the Christians who were scattered all over the Roman Empire, because, you know, they were persecuting the Christians. So Christians go all over, they can't find a place to stay. And Peter was writing to them just to encourage them to stay strong and to be holy, to stay in the word of God, in the way of God. So Peter was writing, and chapter 2, Peter said to them, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, and every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Crave. It's like something that you desire. At a certain point, you are ready to give almost everything just to have that thing. So Peter was encouraging the Christian, the church in that time, even though they were going through a difficult situation and persecution, and how the Roman emperors was killing the Christian, that was horrible. But in that time, he was writing them just to encourage them, to strengthen their faith in the Lord, tell them craving for spiritual meat. And I'm here today to tell you that. And this world that we're living today, and you can see everything is progressing, right? Everything is progressing. You used to have a phone with a line. Now you just have a cell phone without a cable. And you used to have just a car, but now you have intelligent car. You know, everything is progressing. And Daniel said that, you know, in his word. He said that knowledge will increase in the end of time. And we can see that happening. So everything is increasing. Everything is growing, is progressing. And how about us, the church? How about us, the church? What are we doing? Do we want to just stay in the same position every single day? Do we want to just come to church on Sunday and go back home, forget about church, put the Bible somewhere, and the other Sunday just take it, put the dust out of it, and then come here? No, we can't be like that. Because this is our strength. This is how we can hold the world. And by the way, don't worry about the size of my Bible. My message won't be that long, you know? Don't worry. A friend of mine told me once, man, the size of your Bible determines how spiritual you are. That was just a joke. And I said, if it's true, I better got a bigger one. Because that's the goal. That's the point. So Peter encouraging the church to crave, to look after, to seek. You know how I see people seeking after money in this world? Doing everything just to get money. Sometimes doing everything to keep a relationship or to build a relationship. But how are we Christians going after the word of God? How are we Christians are trying every single step in our lives to be like Jesus? Because Jesus said that you are the salt of the world. And if the salt loses saltiness, doesn't serve for anything else but to throw it away. So, as a salt, if they, as a little bit of salt, if they plunge you in a big, you know, in a big recipient full of water, you will lose your saltiness. So as we are in this world, the way I see that this world is going, if we as Christian, we don't progress in our faith, if we as Christian, we don't keep growing in our faith and our spiritual work with the Lord, the world will swallow us. The things in this world will swallow us. What you are listening and on radio, what you are watching on TV, will swallow you as a Christian. So this morning, the Lord wants to encourage you and I to crave for spiritual milk. And there are so many, more than 60 and some Bible verses just talking about encouraging Christians to grow in God's word. Let's see what Philippians 3:10, 12 says. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, the word of God says, I want to know Christ. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have I already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus hold for me. I press on. So, you know, the Apostle Paul is one of the servant of the Lord who wrote most of the part of the New Testament. And as you can know, before he was a Christian, as he was persecuting the follower of Christ. So this same man now is a follower of Jesus in writing most part of the New Testament, is telling us how even he's serving the Lord the way he's serving him, but he's pressing on because the run is not over yet. So I encourage you today to press on. Don't give up. Keep pushing. You'll feel discouraged. Keep pushing. People deny you. Keep pushing. People reject you. Keep pushing. Husband left you. Keep pushing. Woman or your wife left you. Keep pushing. Your sons doesn't care or don't care about you. Keep pushing. Because there is a goal to attain, which is the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you today. I see how people in the world trying to do things just to master, just to be better every single day. I have a cousin of mine who lives in New York City. This guy, if he's not working, go look for him at a gym. If he's not working, you will find him at a gym. He's working out. He already had all these muscles, but I don't know why he keeps working out. But he keeps pushing, you know? He keeps pushing to get these muscles built. Morning, evening, if he's not working, I tell you, find him at a gym. So how much time do you spend building your spiritual muscle? How often do you say, so this is a time for me and the Lord and his word, reading his word, praying, fasting, and building your spiritual muscles? People in this world are smart. And they try to do the best in everything. And that's why Jesus was telling a parable of a man who was in charge of the business of another. So when he found out that he's going to lose his job, so he do some tricks real quick. And Jesus told his disciples, you see how people in the world are smart to keep what they have, to master what they have? And how about you? How smart you are about the things of God. Like trying to seek him. When the word presenting you this opportunity, telling you that you can this, you can that, but in exchange of something. How smart are you to say, no, thank you. I have this. The word of the living God. Hallelujah. So, I'm not telling you that growing spiritually is something that happened overnight. It's not that just today, you know, you were born again and tomorrow you're spiritually strong. I'm not saying that. It's a process, as the definition of growth says. It's a process. It's day after day, okay? Step by step, it happened like that. But are you in the process? This is the question. Are you in the process? Because for a baby to grow, that baby needs to be born. Amen? So are you born again? Are you born again? So to grow in this spiritual journey, you need to be born again. Jesus Christ needs to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you are here in this place today, Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life, you will have the opportunity in the end. And by the way, you don't even have to wait till the end to surrender your life to Him. You can do it right now if you want, but we will give you the opportunity in the end to be in this journey with us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see what God's word says in Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3:1. What does his word say? Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Since then you have been raised with Christ. And raised from what? Raised from what? Because he's speaking to people who are alive. He's not speaking to dead people here. He's speaking to the Christians. But since you are raised, that means coming from spiritual death to spiritual life. Being without Jesus, and now giving and surrender your life to Jesus and live for Jesus. Now, since you were raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. It's very important. It's very important setting your heart on things above. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the Colossians here. But remember, Jesus himself said, wherever you have your possession, this is where your heart is. So wherever your treasure is, this is where your heart is. And now, Paul is telling the Christian to set their heart on things above. So today, make Jesus your treasure. Make the things of God your treasure. Make the things of God the things that you desire the most. And so your heart will be with him. Amen? Your heart will be with him. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. And again, I remember when I really start reading the Bible, and then I see all these things happening from the Old Testament to New Testament, and you see how God used some people powerfully, okay, starting with Moses, okay, Joshua, keep going, Samson, all these people, David, you know. And I see when they are obedient to God, when they stay in God's presence, when they stay in the Word of God, how God used them mightily. And as they turn away from God, what happened to them at a certain time? It doesn't need to be a long time, just a moment, turning away from God, because there is an enemy waiting that opportunity. There is an enemy. He's not like that gentleman who said, I stay outside and knocking at the door. If you open, I will come and have a meal with you. King. He's not like that. He will break the door and come in. The enemy will break the door and come in, you know? He doesn't say, I wait for you to open. No. You don't have that chance. Once you turn away just a moment from God, and now the thoughts come. the idea comes. And if you don't come back quickly, he will drain you. He will drain you. So I said, oh Lord, I don't want to have any weakness of these people. I want to have all the strength. Said, Lord, I want to live in a way to never fail you. You know, to never fail you. But I realized through my work with the Lord, I realized it's not like that. It's not like that, you know, because there is those falling down and coming back, you know, because during the process, you grow. When you fail, sometimes that gives you opportunity to grow. But I want to tell you today, though, if you fail, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Come back. Come back, because he's always waiting. Always waiting. He never gets tired of waiting on us. Amen? I love the idea when after Adam failed God in the garden, Adam didn't run after God to say, oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me. If in your Bible it's like that, okay. But in this Bible I have here, it doesn't say that. It says that God was after Adam in the garden looking for him to say, Adam, where are you? And I believe that this cry is still going today. God is still seeking people. He's still after people to say, Gavinsky, where are you? Who, where are you? You can put your name, this or that, where are you?
Good.
Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So, as Christians, Jesus himself, the master, encouraged Christians to produce good fruit for God's kingdom. And Paul himself will tell the Christians in Colossians 1, 9, 10, he will tell the Christians, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may lead a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit and every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God. So to grow, you see, when people put seeds in the ground and expecting that seed to come out, to grow depends on what kind of seed, if it's a mango tree, whatever it might be, but waiting for it to come out and grow and produce fruits so they can use. If that tree produces fruit that is not good, you will not eat it. You will not eat it. You will put it in trash, right? Am I right? I remember one night, you don't have this here because you always have electricity, you know. One night, because where I'm from, electricity is a luxury, you know. We don't have that all the time. So one night, we were sitting in the porch of our house and we were eating mangoes. And there was no electricity. I was eating my mango, you know, sweet, good. And the light come. Yeah, because you don't have it all the time. And when the light comes, you can hear everybody, yeah, it's like you're watching football or something, you know, and you got excited. Whoa! And as I was eating my mango, I was about to bite when the light comes and I see there was a spoil part where I was about to, you know, and I realized that. So the light brings change. So I see it, but it's my choice to eat it or to throw it away. My choice. I can choose, you know. And I can choose to put it away. So the word of God brings light to things in our lives and show us who we are and show things in our lives that we need to let go away. Now, you can choose to let it go or you can choose to be friend with it. And I'm telling you, the end will not be funny. The end will not be funny. But you're not alone. You're not alone because God's word said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So for you to grow in this walk with Jesus, for you to grow looking like him every single day, you cannot do it on your own strength. You need that spirit for you to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, there is a scripture in the Old Testament that says that my people are dying because they lack knowledge. So many people, when listen to that word, you know, they read and do research, things like that. If it was for that, the Sadducees will know that Jesus was the Son of God. If it was to just read, because they know the law. They know the law of Moses very well. But they could not recognize the Son of God when he was talking to them. In the contrary, they rejected him. So it's not a matter of just reading the Bible. But are you reading the Bible to know God? Or are you reading the Bible to just have knowledge about the Word of God? It's two different things. And each will take you to a different destination. If you read, it's just for you to know, you know, because some people just read the Bible so they can talk to someone when they come to tell them about Jesus, you know, and they are quoting. It's not about that. Do you know Jesus? Does he live in your life? Because you can tell me as a pastor, you said you know the Word of God that says, that's okay, the Word of God that says in the beginning, God did this, he did that, he did men and women, and he said this is why men will leave the mother and be united with the wives. And now you say you are a pastor that carried this Word of God, and you say you're going to put two men here, and you're going to get them married. How? Does it make sense to me? Because when you do that, remember that marriage is not about us. If you thought that marriage was about you, forget about it. Because marriage is about God teaching his people. It's about God teaching the love he has for his world, the love that Jesus Christ had for the church. And Jesus who said, you know, bride and groom, okay? So when you say two grooms or two brides, what are you telling about? You're changing that image. And that's terrible. That's terrible. If you don't repent, your end gonna be very, very harmful, I would say. Very hard. You can say that you are reading the Word of God and as a Christian wanna be like Jesus, you don't respect your parents. Oh, you wanna be like Jesus, you know, and you hate your brothers and sisters. Now, that is the thing that said, when you tell them about God's word, they said, you hate them or this or that. In the contrary, you wanna save them. You can tell me that you have this word, you're carrying this word, and you are worried about who's going to be president of your country. You need to grow. You cannot be enemy of your brother because he decided to vote for that person or because he or she decided to vote for this or that. You need to grow. Like me, that I thought that I could have all the strength and none of the weakness of the man of God. And I realized that I was mistaken. It's never like that. You need to come to the good understanding. need to grow. Because it doesn't matter who is president. What matters is who is on the throne. Who is on the throne? This is what matters. If Jesus is on the throne of your life, doesn't matter who is president. Because in a way or another, if you really read this book, you should know that the world is not getting any better. I don't know about what you read, but if you're reading this, it's not getting any better. And if by chance it gets any better, be sure that he's coming. Because he said, when they say peace, and suddenly. So if you see things getting better, so be ready. If you are walking in the Lord, 1 foot inside, 1 foot out, you better put 2 foot inside if you want to know the Lord forever. If you want to have the eternal life that he promised. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, we need to work out our salvation. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need, if we are raised with Jesus, we need to set our hearts on things above. And as we mentioned earlier, so first to grow, you need to be born. And the same way, it depends on where are you planted. Where are you planted? Because Jesus said about that sower who come out to throw the seed, you know, to sow, and some seed fell off the way, you know, on the way. And as people walk, okay, there is no way that this seed gonna grow. Some fell in the rocky, and the rocks, there is no way that seed gonna find air or water or the sun to grow. And some fell in the spine area, you know, and they could not grow because they were too strong and they killed the seed. But some fell on the good soil. And I'm praying that today, the word of God doesn't fail in any of those I mentioned, the three other kind of soil I mentioned before, but they fell in the good soil of your heart, and that they may produce fruit. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we're not gonna read too much, but God's word says in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, he says, they were together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So the church didn't just grow like that, everybody going their way, doing whatever they please, doing whatever they want, and say, this is my life, I do whatever I want. And you're lying to yourself because you say, Jesus died for me. If I live today, it's not me living, but it's Jesus living in me. But later on, when they talk to you, you say, this is my life. You are wrong about something here. It's not your life anymore, if it's Christ living in you. Amen. So to grow, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. As the worship team can come up, please. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's how the church grew. And as I read it from Psalm 133, verse 1, it is good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. This is like oil, okay, coming on the head of Aaron, coming down his beard and all of his clothes. So as we are together, we give an opportunity for God's Spirit, because the oil, when you mention oil has many different meaning you can put to it in the Bible. But one of it was the presence, was the Holy Spirit. So when we are together praying, worshiping, breaking bread together, we give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to come down on us and deal with things in our lives. Hallelujah. And to grow, I mentioned, you need to be born, or you need to be well planted. Because I saw so many things and happening in churches, things that people are teaching, things that they are doing. I'm asking, what church, what kind of church is that? Is that the church that Jesus said, I will build my church? But the idea is to finish with the church. The idea is to blaspheme the word of God. The idea is, I would say, to eliminate. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So I don't know. You can do whatever you please, do whatever you put, whatever kind of image you put to the church. You will not prevail. Because he has spoken and said, I have built my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. How can you say, this is your church, a church of God, and you come, you put a flag, how many colors in it? Are you trying to put people, or are you trying to teach or showing people the way of God? So brothers and sisters, I'm not going to read it. You can read it at home. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26, there are a list. You know, when the doctor gives you the medication and say, go home and take one pill at this time, at that time, da 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 da. So I gave you this passage here, Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. When you get home, give it a shot, okay? You can take one verse now. Later tonight, you take two or three verses. It depends how you can hold the doses, you know? So they will tell you about the fruits of people who are growing in the Lord and people who are regressing. They will tell you, this is the fruit when you're walking in your own mind, when you're walking according to the world. They're going to give you a list. And after that, they're going to give you a list when you're walking by the Spirit of God. They're going to give you a list when you want to grow spiritually, you shall see this fruit in your life, which I'm not going to mention, as I said. You can read it when you get home. But the idea today is for us to not stay where we are in our walk with God. It's being like him, trying to be like him every single day. That's the point. Being like my son, Jesus. People like to say, because when Jesus said, when the dove came down on Jesus and the baptism, and he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And people like to say, oh, the Lord is pleased with me. Oops. It can be. But are you like his son? Are you looking like his son every single day? It's okay. You can say you're pleased with him. Like many like to call themselves Christians. I'm going to finish here. Many like to say, I am Christian. So many people call themselves Christians. And it's a trick. Brothers and sisters, I remember when I feel like the Lord was calling me to speak for him, I said, Lord, if you know that I'm going to speak to take people away from you, God gave me this gift. But give it to me. But if you are calling me to speak your word, help me to speak your word. Because we call ourselves Christians, but we go against everything that looks like Christ. Since you say, okay, oh, Lord Jesus, you come and pray, Lord Jesus, da da da, and then boom, you finish praying, Jesus, and then you go and do and be whoever or do whatever. But Jesus never called us to be Christians. He called us to be disciples. He called us to be disciples, being like your master. Being like your master. And he said, go all over the world and make disciples and teach them the things I have taught you.
It was until Acts and Antioch, as they were progressing in their walk with God, being disciples of Christ, they called them Christian for the first time. But before, they were disciples of Jesus. So if you want to be a Christian today, first, you need to be a disciple of Jesus. And you can be a Christian. I don't believe that today you just come here, we pray, and then bum, 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 you go, you be and do whatever you please, and then you call yourself Christian. You're lying to yourself, to tell you the truth. You're lying to yourself. Brothers and sisters, we'll end this together. So let's be like the Christian in Acts and breaking bread together, fellowship together, and praise the Lord together. So if you are here today, as I mentioned earlier, you have not given your life to Jesus, this is your time. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Amen.